chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. We have an opportunity after service. We're going to pray for these grounds. We're going to make this holy grounds. Pardon the pun. But we want to make sure that every person that comes onto this property this Wednesday, we can bring kids in to get candy all day long. But we need to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, not only do you give them the gospel, but you give them your lives also. It's not just preaching Jesus to them. We need to give them our lives also. And that's part of discipleship. And so we're going to pray that people come in. We'll pray that people get saved. But we need people to step up and disciple other people. We're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. Tom Rainier, he gave some principles about people who left the church and gave reasons why. And so number one was, we're leaving the church because we don't like your voice. Okay, that's the... you got a problem with that because I can't change that by next week. I mean, we might get one of those bass mics where they could turn me down a little bit and be like Barry White. Number two is, we need to attract more normal people at church. Oh, okay. Well, if we're going to attract normal people, I'm assuming you're leaving. Number three, he said that your wife never compliments my wife on her hair or clothes. Well, maybe there's a reason for that. Number four, we're leaving the church because you have a red cross on the building, and red is the color of the devil. That's in the Bible. Right next to the verse that says he has a horns and a pitchfork. And the last one, this is my favorite. And he said, Tom Rainier said that this is why somebody left the church. He said, because the toilet paper in the ladies' restroom goes over, not under. I'm sorry, whether it goes over or under, does it mean it's not usable? Listen, a lot of people come to church, they leave church, they have problems with church. On the way home, they have roast pastor and all this stuff. And it leaves a lot of bad issues because people have problems with a lot of things that churches do. Now, if it's unscriptural, that's one thing. But if it's just something you do because you do it, there's nothing wrong with that. And so let me clarify some things because we have Halloween coming up. A lot of churches have problems with Halloween. And so you want to be informed, right? And I want to inform you. Hosea 4:6, what does it say? Dang it, they're too fast. That's all right. Love you anyway, Steve. My people perish for lack of knowledge. I'll tell you what, as long as I'm here and as long as God gives me breath, I will never stop giving you knowledge. What you do with it's up to you. But I'm not going to stand and give an account for not informing the people. All right. So, and I want you to make the best use of your time as well. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Be careful how you walk. Watch how you're walking. Not as fools, but as wise. So we got to use our times wisely. So here's some facts that you may not know. Do you know that Christmas is a pagan holiday? Always has been. Matter of fact, in 1649 in Boston, the Puritans absolutely rejected Christmas, not the secularists, not the atheists. It was the Puritan Christians that wanted to eliminate Christmas. In 1855, the New York newspaper proclaimed publicly that churches would be closed on Christmas Day because churches reported it was not a holy day. And so you can do your history and it's fine. Some people say it was Charles Dickens' classic, you know, Scrooge, or it's not Scrooge, it's a Christmas Carol. Yes, thank you. And so some people believe that it was him that started this Saint Nick idea and different stuff. And you can go through and study the history of it. But the stores begin to capitalize on this stuff. And so they begin to, you know, hey, Christmas and St. Nick and do all this and gifts and all this stuff. So the church began to rebuke some of that stuff. So in order to eliminate that, they just proclaimed Jesus' birth. So then we're trying to make this about Jesus and, you know, you still got Santa and the Christmas tree and Jesus and his birth and the nativity and all the stuff and the chimney. And you get it all mixed together. And then I believe, best on my research, 2005, Walmart begin to say, "Happy holidays." Taking Christ out of Christmas, and we get offended. Listen, that was a pagan holiday to begin with. Easter was a pagan holiday. And we have stuff like this. Silly rabbit, Easter is for Jesus. No, the resurrection is for Jesus. If you look up the history, Easter, which is Estor, was the goddess of fertility. You ever heard the expression, they're reproducing like rabbits? The goddess of fertility, bunny rabbit at Easter. Do you get the connection? The egg, that's fertilizing the egg. And you have, I mean, and Christians have done stuff all over the years. They have taken and used the egg as the Trinity and tried to paint it for the resurrection and all that stuff. But it was all pagan. Began pagan. It even still has part pagan stuff in it. We do so many things that are pagan every day, and we don't realize it. How many of Tom Craft, that man's passed a kidney stone. And you know what? I've never passed a kidney stone. Knock on wood. How many of you are knocked on wood? Oh, yeah, that's pagan. Do you know that? In ancient folklore, what they would do is they would tap on trees or they would knock on wood so that they could invoke the wood spirit, because there's bad spirits and good spirits. So you would knock on wood to invoke the good spirits in order for whatever you just said wouldn't happen to you. So you're trying to have those wood spirits help you out so that you wouldn't have bad luck. Do you get that? And what do we do? Did I not just say that? Yeah, Tom Craft, he's passed the kidney stone. I've never done that. Knock on wood. So am I invoking a wood spirit so that I don't have any bad luck, so that that happens to me? Not really. I don't do that stuff. I'm not invoking wood spirits. Because let me give you a very important principle. There's no such thing as luck. It's only as the Lord wills. Matter of fact, James says that. James chapter 4, verse 15. Says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live, we shall do this, do that. Hey, I'll see you Wednesday, Lord willing. Hey, we're going to have a great trunk or treat, Lord willing. There's no such thing as luck. I mean, hopefully it won't rain, knock on wood. But listen, we do stuff like that all day, every day. Now, how many of you have ever sneezed? Achoo! What do you say? Bless you. Absolutely. Oh, Gesundheit. What is that? Where's that from? It's German. Thank you. You got out of that one, bro. When we sneeze, that's pagan. No, I'm sorry. It's not pagan. That's natural. When we say bless you, that's pagan. What do you mean that's pagan? Well, because ancient folklore used to believe that you had a spirit inside of you, and if an evil spirit, and he got through your nose... By the way, I'm telling you, they had some weird, whacked out stuff, and people believe this. So you have this spirit, and this evil spirit gets into you, and what happens is he begins to make you sick. So your body's natural response to get this evil spirit out is to sneeze. And so when you go, achoo, and they would say, oh, bless you, oh, because they want to get the evil spirit out, but they want to keep your spirit in there, because you could sneeze and your spirit would go out through your nose. And so bless you became a sign of health. And as Brandon said, Gesundheit. This isn't just American folklore. This goes all the way back to German. You know what Gesundheit means in German? It means health. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's some weird, whacked out stuff that people believe. And we believe that stuff today. Now, this is important. Work with me. The days of the week. Oh, dun, dun, dun. Sunday and Monday. Just like they're said. It was based on the Roman mythology. Well, it was the Babylonian. I mean, it predated all that stuff. But Roman adopted all this stuff, and it changed over the years. But Sunday was from the sun god. And so that day was the sun day. And Monday was from the moon god. So, you get Monday, Sunday, Monday. Okay, so there's 2 days, those are pagan. Now, it changed over the years because we went from Roman mythology, and as Anglo-Saxons adopted Norse mythology. And that deals with the Vikings and stuff. So Tuesday and Wednesday, Tuesday is Tyr's day. Tyr was the god of war in Viking mythology. And so that's him on the your left. And then Wednesday was from Odin. And his name is also pronounced Woden. So it's Woden's day. And that's where we get Wednesday from. Tyr is Tuesday. And then, of course, Thursday, everybody knows the all-famous, that's Thor's day. It's the god of thunder. But you may not know Friday, because Odin had a wife, and his wife's name was Frigg. Her name was Frigg, and so her day was Friday, so it was called Frigg's day. And that's where we get Friday. And then, of course, Saturday goes back to Roman mythology, and that's the god Saturn, who is the god of fun and feasting. And so they celebrated Saturday as a day to relax and have fun and feast and do whatever. And don't we kind of do that today? Like Saturday is our fun day, our free day, because we work Monday through Friday, Sunday's church, and Saturday, that's a... Wait a minute. That's 7 days a week. You guys will have to pay me to do nothing because every day's pagan. I'm not working. Come on. It's just a bunch of hogwash. Listen, what we want to do is we want to do something biblical. We want to do it biblical, and we want to make sure we are right on track doing what God wants us to do. James Dobson says that there are two aspects of Halloween, and so there's pagan origins. Yes, we understand that. They tried to speak to the dead. They tried to raise the dead. They had witches, demons, seances, all of those different types of things. And that is the wrong aspect. Necromancing, speaking to the dead, that's forbidden in the Bible. Trying to raise the dead, using Ouija boards, all that stuff is forbidden. That stuff is not biblical. That aspect is wrong. But dressing up in fanciful characters to get some candy? What's the matter with that? Because here's the idea. If you can't dress up in a fantasy character, don't ever have a Christmas play. Oh, you can't dress up in the wise men. Can't. Oh my gosh, Easter time. You can't dress up as Jesus. That's blasphemy. Really? We're trying to show the Bible in a live way. We're not trying to raise the dead. We're not sacrificing. We're not demonic. We're not doing any of those things. And there is a biblical principle that's found in there. Matter of fact, it's like, well, the original pagan holiday was to memorialize the dead, and you're not allowed to do that. Then we better not have Memorial Day. Don't we remember those that gave their lives to keep this country free? Man, we got to think what we do. We have to do things. God created us with a thought-out plan. He is the greatest thinker there was. That's why we're thinkers. Animals don't think. Trees don't think. The universe doesn't think. Only man does. That's why we were created in His image. We have thought-out plans. Let's do this. And so if Paul was alive today, I think he would participate in this very much so. And it comes from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 through 22. Paul says, "And to the Jew I become a Jew, so that I could try to win the Jews. Those that are under the law, I was under the law, so I could win those who were under the law. To the Gentiles that didn't have a law, I didn't have a law. Of course, I kept the law of Christ. I didn't want to become lawless, but I kept the law of Christ. That I might win those that don't have the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak." He says, "I have become all things to all men, that I might," read those three words, "by all means save some." You know what? I think we forget the all means. I think we forget the all means. If by all means I use Christmas to proclaim Jesus' virgin birth, praise God. Nothing wrong with that. If by all means I use Easter to talk about Jesus' resurrection, and according to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says if he didn't rise from the dead, what we do here and now is dumb. It's useless. So if I use those things as an opportunity, if I want to worship on Sunday and talk about the S-O-N, son, man, why not? Paul said in Romans 1:14, "I am a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the unwise. What is a debtor? We have debtors. What is a debtor? Somebody that owes somebody else something. Paul says, I owe this world the gospel. And I'm going to get it to them by all means. Whatever means I possibly can. And so, by all means, also means money. Oh, there we go. Pastor just wants my money. That miserable creep just wants me to give. That's all this was. He had my attention until he talked about money. Listen, Jesus talked more about money than he talked about heaven and hell combined. The Bible speaks more about money than it does any other topic. Let that sink in. But here's the idea. So when you go to McDonald's, they don't want your money, right? I mean, I've seen this sign driving out 30, and this lady's selling insurance, and she says, hey, come on in for coverage and a conversation. Oh, she doesn't want my money, does she? She just wants me to converse with her. I mean, when you buy insurance, you know, for life insurance, they don't want your money. They just want to cover you, you know? When you go into the store, oh my goodness, nobody wants you to starve. When you go into a store, they don't want your money, do they? Wow. Here's the idea. When you get those bills in the mail, is that just a thank you card? What doesn't expect you to give money? Here's a nonprofit organization, Salvation Army. Here we go, Christmas time. You'll see the little bells. They'll be annoying after the time that's all done. What do they want? But let me say this, and please listen to me very carefully. The mission of the gospel has always been and always will be through the time, talent, and finances of God's people. Spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world has always been and always will be through the time, the talent, and the finances of God's people. Always. Always. We don't have time to get into this completely, but just a brief run through. Exodus 3:21, God told the people, he said, I'm going to give you favor in the eyes of the Egyptians, and when I deliver you, you're going to have tons of stuff. You're going to be rich. And so God told Moses, this is what he told Moses at the burning bush. And so it come time for Moses to deliver the people, and it actually came to pass. Exodus chapter 12, verse 36 in the NLT says this, the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the Israelites, and they gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. So they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. I think the New King James says that they plundered them. That's a funny word. But they took all of their wealth. Okay, why? Because God had a plan and a purpose for that. And so we come to the wilderness wanderings, and God finally says, okay, you got to build my temple, or you got to build my tabernacle, and I need you to do that. And you know what Moses said? Hey, we need all the riches you took from Israel. Come on and bring that stuff so we can build God's tabernacle, so he can have a place to come, be with us, us be with him, and worship him the way he wants us to. And so they did that. And you know what Moses said? In Exodus 36:6, Moses gave a commandment and caused to be proclaimed about the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from giving their finances. You know what Moses said? We got everything we need. We got a little too much. Just keep your money. We don't need it. We've got everything. Let me tell you, that will never, ever happen in today's day and age. You will never hear a pastor say, we've got everything we need, stop giving. Because the problem is, in our day and age, we have such a need in this world that the need will never stop. Never stop. And that's the problem. And so, I don't think that we have the right perspective on why we do what we do. And I hear so many people say, well, I can't afford to give. And I would proclaim this to you, you can't afford not to give. And I hear some people say, well, this is my money. I've worked for this. But you, and I don't have time to go back, but the biblical principle is God gives each person abilities and talents to work. And God ordains who's going to make so much, the poor, the rich, the lame, the blind. God ordains all of them. And then there's passages of Scripture like Psalms 89:11, where he says, the heavens are yours, the earth is yours, the world's yours, all of its, everything is yours. It belongs to you. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's, its fullness, the world, and even those who dwell in the world. Oh, so now people belong to God. It's one of the reasons people have problems with evil. Why did God allow that child to die? Everything belongs to the Lord. And so he ordains a time. Job says there's a time to die and there's a time not to die. Or Solomon in Ecclesiastes. Job says, man, I curse my birth. It's better the day of my death because I know that there's no more suffering for me. And so we get this wrong perspective by thinking that all this life is about us. 1 Corinthians 10:31. What's the whole purpose of every Christian? Give glory to God. Haggai 2:8. God says the silver's mine, the gold's mine. All of it. People, the earth, the universe. I created it all. I own it. It's mine. So if somebody else owns your stuff, then what are you? What's that called? A steward. A steward. We don't own anything. We're stewards. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required. Is that a suggestion? Is it just something that you might want to think about? What is a requirement? Can I tell you, you're not going to get into Cedar Point unless you buy a ticket. That's a requirement. You are not going to get out of going to jail if you don't pay your taxes. Some might think they are, but they always catch up with them. There are requirements, and God says it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Faithfulness. God doesn't expect us to give thousands of dollars every week. All he expects us to do is be faithful each week by giving what we need to give. Now, the question is, how much do we give and what do we give? That's the biggest part of it. And people have questions about all that stuff. Well, how much are we supposed to give and what are we supposed to give and where do we give it and where do we do all this stuff? Well, let me just give you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Paul says, God is not a God of disorder. God is a God of order. He created the universe in perfect order. After the universe was created, all of the natural known laws are in perfect order. The church, he expects the church to come together and have perfect order in what we do. And so when it comes to this, it's talking about using our gifts. And our gifts in the church are to be done in order. That's what it says, as in all the meetings of God's people. So when we come together for church, we need to come together in an orderly fashion. And that's beautiful because that's why we come and we come in and we praise and we sing and we welcome and then we hear from God's word and we end and we got to do it in a perfect order. I did it in a perfect order this morning because this is the order that I picked out. But here's the idea. God is a God of order. And we have to get God's order in giving because a lot of people don't know this. This is why we have Missions Emphasis Month. To show people where God expects his offerings to be done. Now, we believe the Bible teaches that the first is your tithe. And everybody hears that the tithe is one-tenth and you're to give a tithe and you're commanded to give and all that stuff. Listen, you don't have to give anything. You don't have to serve. You don't have to be a part of nothing. And when you stand before God Almighty, you'll give an account. But the Bible says, as a matter of fact, in many things, you're not commanded to fast. Jesus says, when you fast. You're not commanded to pray. Jesus says, when you pray. You're not commanded to give. Jesus says, when you give. He just expects that you're going to do it. It's not the fact you're commanded to. He just thinks everybody's supposed to do this. So I'll just tell you how to give. Because I think everybody's going to give. Some do, some don't. Some give more, some don't give any. That's up to you. But let me give you what the Bible says. The tithe, the general, that's your 10%. That's your general giving. I don't say tithe. I don't like that word. Because if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find out that those people were to give up to 27% of their income. Oh, hey, wow. I'm getting it. 27% of their income. They were just commanded to 1/10. No, they weren't. There was a tithe of the first fruits, then there was a tithe of the increase, then there was a tithe of this, and there was a tithe of that. There was 9 different tithes in the Old Testament. What? I never heard that. Well, I'm going to get you look it up. I've looked it up already. So if you want to get into what the Old Testament gave, they gave upwards of 27% of their income. All I'm talking about is 10%. That's a good place to start. If you can't start at 10, start at 2. Can't start at 2, start at 1. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. God, I want to be faithful. Let me give to you, and then watch what God will do. I'm telling you, we get ourselves in trouble, and then we're like, okay, God, if you want me to give to you, then you're going to have to get me out of this mess. No, you get yourself out of it. But continue to give to God and see what he doesn't bless you with. And he may not. It's up to him. He owns it all. But I would say your general offering, your tithe or your general offering. In the Old Testament and in the New, it went to the church. It went for the priests. It went for the church. It went for the temple. It went for the upkeep of it. All of those things. And we follow that same principle today. So the tithe of the general offering is what you give first. That takes care of the church, the upkeep, the utilities, the salaries, all of the things. When we have a budget every year in January, the general tithe goes to that. Does that make sense? Okay, that's the general. Now, don't give outside of that. Don't give or take away from that. I'm sorry. Don't take away from that to give to something else. Because this is why we do faith promise missions. It's because we come in above and beyond your general. The general should always go for the upkeep of the church. For the upkeep of everything that we do here. Salaries and all those things. But when it comes to faith promise missions is about the missionaries the church supports. Not individually, but as the church supports them. That's what faith promise is. So what you're doing is you're saying, I'm giving this general offering here to the church for those programs, for the salaries, for the upkeep of the church, for the utilities, all those things. And I'm stepping out by faith and saying, I'm going to give this much every week so that I can give to missions. How many missionaries do we support? Anybody know? Somebody name one of them. I did this last year. Nobody's increased in your knowledge of our missionaries? Who? Dan Orr. Where's he a missionary to? Prison missionary. Oh, that's awesome. Somebody else? The Reddings. Oh, yeah, he was just here last week. Duh. And so there's Dan Redding. And then there's Jeff Staley. He's to Ireland. And then there's who? Calvin Hauser. Well, we don't support him. We don't support Calvin, nor do we support Keith Malugin. How many of you would love to support Keith Malugin? Okay, there's two of you. I agree with you. I would love to support that man. Because church and missionaries and building the kingdom of God is not about building buildings. Because the early church met in homes because they didn't have a building. And so if you go across the seas to a place... anybody been to the Dominican Republic? Maybe Chile? These people have cardboard boxes with dirt grounds, and a cardboard box separates the neighbor's house. So if you don't have money to build a house, you just meet in a cardboard box. That's your church, because the church is the people. Our mission is to make disciples, not build buildings. But if God has given us a building, praise God, we should compel everybody to come in and fill it. There's a difference between that. So when we talk about giving, our giving is to be, number one, our general. Don't take away from the general to give to missions. And that's what happens. Some people do that. And it messes stuff up. So every year, Missions Emphasis Month, we have those little cards. Did everybody get a card? I hope you got one. If you did not get one, please go up out there under the information TV by the missionaries. And there are Faith Promise Mission cards. And at the end of the service, I'm going to have Keith Barker and Tom Kraft. They're going to be in the back to accept those. Fold them up and hand them to them. We do this so that we know who we can take on. Keith Malugin is a personal friend of mine, and his mission, that man does non-stop. He's got the mission of what we should be having. He looks at people, and he says, these people are dying and going to hell. And I want to reach them. Will you partner with me? I'm not going to the Dominican Republic, but I sure can give him something to go there. And that's what's above and beyond the tithe. So we bring people in. Calvin Hauser did an awesome job. I wish he had the time to come in on Sunday morning. He'd have loved to have seen that. That guy's going over there, and he's built an orphanage, and he has another building because the orphans are just absolutely flooding in from everywhere. And they need help, and they're building churches and all kinds of stuff. The mission field of building disciples is all around the world. And we're losing. We're losing the battle. A buddy of mine that sits in here, Barry Williams, he was a missionary to Scotland. He's back here in the United States because all of his support got lost. He had to leave the mission field because he couldn't support to be over there. Man, this is why we do this stuff. I don't just want your money. We're reaching out to the world. We're doing it right here in Mansfield, Ohio. They're doing it in another country. But they need support. They can't do it by themselves. So we do programs like Faith Promise Missions, and that's what God designed. Your general goes to the church, upkeep, salaries, utilities, all those things. Above and beyond that is to missions. Faith Promise Missions is to the missionaries we already support. And so each year, we ask you to make a commitment. Remember we talked about a commitment earlier? Don't make me go back and go through that whole thing all over again. All we're doing is please make a commitment. Each week, how much are you committing to pay? I'm going to step out on faith and I'm going to give $15. Last year I gave 10. This year I think God's going to do more. I'm going to give 10 more. I'm going to give 5 more. And so my total is going to be 15. So if you have a Faith Promise Mission card, just check mark the 15. If it's going to be 1867, then I don't know, click the other and write in that amount or something. But there's numbers on there. From $5 all the way up to $150. I don't know. But it's a weekly amount of how much you'll give. And you know what? When we know how much people are stepping out by faith to give, that lets us know who we can support. We have had to eliminate this past year a number of different mission fields because we didn't have the money to support it. Why are we supporting so many missions where we don't have money to support this stuff? And so that's why we do Faith Promise Missions, to see what people are going to step out by faith to give. There's a level. God is a God of order. The first in order is your tithe or your general. The next in order is missions, Faith Promise Missions. And above and beyond that is your offering. What does that go to? That goes to whatever. Children's ministry, Awana ministry, the men's ministry, ladies' ministry, teens, you name it. I don't know, senior pastor fund. That's a great one. Start giving to that. Let me ask you a question, seriously. Let's say 50 people, after they've given their tithe or their general, after they've given their Faith Promise Missions, let's just say they stop going to Starbucks one time and they give $1. 50 people do that. How much is that per week? $50. Okay, that was easy. How much is that per month? How much is that per year? Next slide, Stevie. $2,600. Let me take you out to the foyer and take you to our budget that we do every January. Do you know how much our teen budget is for the year? $2,400. $2,400 for our teen budget. And if 50 people gave above their tithe, their general, above their missions, 50 people gave $1 faithfully every week. We would have more in that than we have in a budget for our teens. Are our kids not that important? Our WOW program has zero. Zero. That's why we have to have them pay their offerings. That's why they pay their books. That's why they pay for their vests. Because we don't have no money for our children. Are they not important? $2,600 would do one heck of a lot for our children's ministry. Oh, man. You don't have to give a dime. I'm not forcing you to give anything. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, don't give by compulsion. Or 2 Corinthians 9, I'm sorry. It says, don't give by compulsion. Don't give out of necessity. Don't give because you have to. Give because you want to. I want to see children's lives changed back there. I want to see teens' lives changed. We want to build relationships with them. Disciple them. Train them up. Man, we're losing it. We need a gospel reset. We need to redo what we do, why we do it. Folks, I'm not here preaching to the choir. You know these things. God doesn't expect you to give $1,000 to this program. All He expects you to do is be faithful. Every week, be faithful. If you only get paid every 2 weeks, then give every 2 weeks. But be faithful. If you're on limited income and you only get paid every month, then give every month. It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. God just wants faithfulness. Commitment. That's better. I would say God wants commitment. We need commitment. We need commitment. John chapter 14, Jesus said, if you love me, show me. Show me. Let me close with this verse. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8 through 9, he said, I'm not speaking by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Paul says it's a test of your genuineness. Do you love Jesus? Like I said, you don't have to give. But Paul says if you love Jesus, it's a test of how much you love him by what you give. Not how much you give, but give. It's not a certain amount. Jesus just wants you to be faithful. Would you commit to be faithful? Do you love Jesus? I guess that's the first thing. Do you have a love for him? Or are you just glad you got the get out of hell free card? Serving God takes a commitment in everything that we do. And it's hard. That's why we need to partner together and be encouraging to one another. Actions speak louder than our words. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for our time. We had some kind of order here, Lord, but I do say that we need to reset what we do. We need to reset all of our programs. We need to reset our focus. Lord, I don't want your people to perish for lack of knowledge. I want to give that knowledge to them. It's up to them with what they do. But Lord, oh man, for love of you, let me show you that I love you. Build a vibrant children's ministry, a live, exciting teen ministry, young marrieds, college and career, old people, young people, middle-aged people. Lord, we just want to have people that love you, that are growing in knowledge and grace. We do not want to be led astray by the error of the wicked. Lord, light a fire under us. Get us stoked up. We love you. And we need to show you that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Just that we could reset and refocus why we do what we do. And not just the traditions of men. May we not just say we love you, but show you. Father, I just commit this invitation to you, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would just have your way. And spark your people, inspire them, get them lit. And let's pray for lost souls, for this church, for the people that's in this church, everything. Just get fired up. We love you, Lord, and we commit this day to you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you